FSI Italian, Unit 3. Listen to the following Italian vowel, which we will call vowel 3. E, E. Here is an English vowel. E, E. Here is Italian vowel 3, followed by the English. E, 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 E. Frame 4. Which is the Italian vowel, X or Y? E, I, I, I. The answer is X. Now listen to the short vowel 3, followed by the long vowel 3. E, I, I, I. Frame 6. Which is the short vowel, X or Y? E, 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 E. The answer is Y. Frame 7. Are the following three all short? E, 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 E. The answer is no. Frame 8. Are these three all short? E, 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 E. The answer is yes. To pronounce vowel 3 correctly, make your lips tense by pulling your mouth back tightly as if to produce a forced grin. Keep your mouth relatively closed. Repeat after the model. E, E, E. The following syllable contains vowel 3. Listen and repeat. Me, me. Frame 11. Does the following syllable contain vowel 3? Ni, ni. The answer is yes. Frame 12. What about this one? Ne, ne. The answer is no. Frame 13. And this one? Ti, ti. The answer is yes. The Italian syllable you just heard begins with a consonant sound something like the initial consonant of the English word ti. Listen to the Italian syllable followed by its English counterpart. Ti, 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 ti. Frame 15. Are the following all Italian syllables? Ti, 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 ti. The answer is no. Frame 16. Are the following all Italian syllables? Ti, 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 ti. The answer is yes. Frame 17. Which is Italian, X or Y? Ti, 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 ti. The answer is Y. There are two main differences between the Italian consonant you have been hearing and the English consonant. Like the English consonant sound heard in do, the English consonant of T is made by having the front part of the tongue touch the gum ridge behind the upper teeth. Listen to the following English word. T, T, T. The Italian consonant heard in frames 13 through 17 and represented here as shown is usually made like the Italian consonant sound type represented here by having the front part of the tongue touch the upper teeth. Frame 21. What is such a sound called? The answer is a dental sound. Frame 22. Is the English consonant in T normally dental? The answer is no. Now listen carefully to the English word tea. 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 The English consonant in this word is followed by a puff of air. Listen again. Tea. 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 Frame 25. Therefore, the English consonant in the word tea is said to be what? The answer is aspirated. Frame 26. Are Italian consonants normally aspirated? The answer is no. Frame 27. Therefore, is the Italian consonant represented as shown aspirated? The answer is no. Frame 28. Is the following statement true or false? Unlike the English consonant in T, the Italian consonant represented as shown is normally dental and not aspirated. The answer is true. The unaspirated consonant, though normally dental, is very much like the second consonant heard in the English word star. If you listen carefully, you can hear a difference in the pronunciation of the sound types represented by the letter T in the following two English words. Tar, star. In the word tar, the sound type in question is aspirated, but in the word star, it is not aspirated. Listen again. Tar, star, tar, star. The Italian consonant is, therefore, more like the consonant represented by the letter T in star than like the initial consonant of tar. It is, in other words, not aspirated. To pronounce it, try thinking of an initial s before uttering the consonant. Now repeat. Ta. 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 Now try the following. Remember to avoid making a strong puff of air. Think of inhaling rather than exhaling. Di. 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 Listen again to the Italian syllable di followed by the English word t. Di. T. Di. T. Frame 36. Is the following Italian or English? T. T. The answer is English. Frame 37. What about this one? D. D. The answer is Italian. Frame 38. And this one? D. D. The answer is Italian. Now listen to the girl's name spelled T-I-N-A, first pronounced in English, then pronounced in Italian. Tina. 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 Now repeat the Italian version of the name, remembering that the consonant in question is dental and not aspirated. Tina. 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 Frame 41. What letter is used in normal Italian spelling to represent the consonant in question? The answer is the letter T. Frame 42. This name contains two vowels, vowel 3 and vowel 1. Which is stressed? Tina. Tina. The answer is vowel 3. Frame 43. Which vowel is longer in this name, vowel 3 or vowel 1? Tina. Tina. The answer is vowel 3. Frame 44. What letter is used to represent vowel 3? The answer is the letter I. Repeat the three names you have learned after the model. Amanda. Luca, Tina, Amanda, Luca, Tina. Test B. Answers not recorded. Indicate by yes or no whether the utterances you hear are Italian or not. Each utterance will be heard twice. Number 1. E. E. Number 2. A. A. Number 3. I. I. Number 4. U. U. Number 5. T. T. Number 6. Number 7. Tina. Tina. Number 8. N. N. Number 9. D. D. Number 10. Ka. Ka. This is the end of the recorded portion for Unit 3. FSI Italian, Unit 4. Frame 1. Is the following sound vowel 1, 2, or 3? A. A. The answer is vowel 1. Frame 2. What about this one? E. E. The answer is vowel 3. Frame 3. And this one? U. U. The answer is vowel 2. Frame 4. Is this 1, 2, 3, or some other vowel? E. E. The answer is some other vowel. The vowel you have just heard sounds somewhat like the first vowel sound in the English words 7 or 70. Thus, we might conveniently refer to this vowel as vowel number 7 or vowel number 70. However, because this vowel, unlike vowels 2 and 3, is pronounced with the mouth relatively open, perhaps the zero digit in 70 can be used effectively here as a reminder of an open vowel. For this reason, we shall refer to it as vowel 70. In pronouncing it, don't be afraid to open your mouth wide. Eh. 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 The following is a syllable you have already heard.
Ka. Ka.
Remember that the consonant in this syllable is not aspirated.
Ka. Ka.
The particular consonant sound type in question is represented here as shown. Pronounce this consonant before vowel number 3.
Ki. Ki.
The combination you have just made is an Italian word that signals a question asking for the identity of someone. Hence, it corresponds roughly to the English question words who and whom. Repeat the word again, this time looking at its proper spelling.
Ki. Ki. Ki.
Repeat the following syllables.
Ki. Ka. Ki. Ka.
Now you will hear a question in Italian asking for the identity of a third person being referred to.
Chi è? Chi è?
Frame 13. This question has two vowels in it. Which of the following are they? Number 1 and number 2? Number 70 and number 1? Or number 3 and number 70? The answer is number 3 and number 70. Here is the proper spelling for this question. Repeat while looking at the spelling. Notice that our units will use the special type e for vowel number 70 in a stressed position in a word.
Yeah. Chi è?
Notice that the question just given contains two words that sound like one, with the stress on the last vowel.
Chi è?
Frame 16. Two or more words, said without any pause between them, form what may be called a breath group. The phrase chi è has how many breath groups? The answer is one. The following may be an answer to chi è and constitutes one breath group. Imitate as closely as possible.
È Amanda. È Amanda. È Amanda.
Here are three other possible answers. Listen carefully and repeat, noticing that any consonant that immediately follows the word e is pronounced strongly.
È Luca. È Tina. È Eva. È Luca. È Tina. È Eva.
Repeat the following question-answer pairs. Chi è?
È Amanda.
Chi è?
È Luca.
Chi è?
È Tina.
Chi è?
È Eva.
Frame 20. Observe the following model. Chi è?
È Amanda.
You will now be asked the question from the preceding model. Every time you hear the question, quickly give the appropriate response using the names as they appear in the following list. Your response will be confirmed each time. Chi è?
È Alina.
Chi è?
È Amina.
Chi è?
È Vista.
Chi è?
È Eva.
Chi è?
È Fina.
Chi è?
È Gina.
Chi è?
È Lea.
Chi è?
È Lia.
Chi è?
È Lina.
Chi è?
È Linda.
Chi è?
È Luca.
Chi è?
È Magda.
Chi è?
È Mena.
Chi è?
È Mina.
Chi è?
È Nena.
Chi è?
È Nina.
Chi è?
È Nini.
Chi è?
E Sabina.
Chi è?
E Savina.
Chi è?
E Spina.
Chi è?
E Tina.
If the meaning of chi è is a question asking for the identity of a person being referred to, the following then are some of the ways of translating the Italian into English. A. Who is it? B. Who is she? C. Who is he? D. What's his name? E. What's her name? F. What's the name of the person being referred to? Frame 22. Is there only one English translation possible for the Italian chi è? The answer is no. Frame 23. Do the English translations given all mean the same thing? That is, may they all be used interchangeably in any given situation? The answer is no. Frame 24. Do they all refer to the same specific situation? The answer is no. Frame 25. Let us now take the very specific situation in which one wishes to identify a famous man being described in a guessing game. Might one ask any of the following questions? Who is it? Who is he? What's his name? The answer is yes. Frame 26. In a particular situation, then, might two or more utterances be used to refer to the same thing? The answer is yes. Obviously, then, the meaning of something depends upon the situation or situations in which it is used. If you know what something may be used to refer to, and how to use it in a particular situation or context, you have learned one of its meanings. The meaning of an utterance like kie may be arrived at by a definition, such as a question asking for the identity of a person being referred to, and by examples of situations in which kie is used. Sometimes a translation of something like kie may give one a clue to its meaning, but the meaning of something should not be confused with its translation into another language. The different translations given for kie are different English ways of expressing what the Italian kie refers to. Frame 32. Are the translations themselves meanings, or are they reflections of or clues to meanings? The answer is reflections of or clues to meanings. Sometimes from a number of different translations of an utterance, there is one that is used to reflect most of the meanings, or the primary meaning, of the individual words in the utterance. For instance, in the case of ie, perhaps the translation most usually found is who is it? Such a translation is often referred to as the literal translation. The English word who is the literal translation of the Italian word chi. Frame 35. Consequently, can you expect to find who in most cases in which Italians use the word chi? The answer is yes. Frame 36. Should you expect to find who in all cases in which Italians use chi? And should you expect to find chi in all cases in which English speakers use who? The answer is no. Unfortunately for the language learner, it is not always easy to equate words in one language with words in another language. As a consequence, it is impractical and often misleading for the language learner to equate words in one language with words in another language. Let's suppose for a moment that Charles, a fictitious student of Italian, is the type of student who needs to equate words in one language with words in another language. If who is the literal translation of the Italian word chi, Charles would expect to find chi in the normal Italian translation of the following two sentences. A. Who did it? B. He's the person who did it. However, whereas chi may be used in the translation of A, it is not to be used in the translation of B. It is natural for Charles to be puzzled by this fact, since he has been equating who with chi. On the other hand, the student who has been taught that chi is found in certain kinds of questions for which the literal translation into English involves who should not be so puzzled. Frame 44. Is sentence A a question? The answer is yes. Obviously, then, you can expect chi in the Italian translation of A. Frame 46. Is sentence B a question? The answer is no. Obviously, then, you should not expect chi in the Italian translation of B. Frame 48. Is the translation of something the same as its meaning? The answer is no. Frame 49. You will now be given both a translation and a meaning of the Italian sentence, e amanda. Tell which is the translation and which is the meaning. A statement identifying Amanda as the individual being referred to. B. Amanda is the one. The answer is A is a meaning. B is a translation. Frame 50. As a consequence, is it more accurate to say statement X or statement Y? X. The Italian word chi means who. Y. The Italian word chi may be translated as who. The answer is statement Y. Frame 51. In order to learn the meaning of something, should you pay attention to the situations and contexts in which it is used? The answer is yes. Frame 52. Can English translations be used as clues to the meaning of an Italian word or phrase? The answer is yes. Frame 53. Can you know the meaning of something without your being able to give a translation of it? The answer is yes. As you learn to say things in Italian, try to understand and remember the situations and contexts in which they appear. At all times, try to avoid associating Italian words and phrases with English. Naturally, you will find that many times you will be associating Italian and English. This is natural for a native speaker of English, and sometimes this has to be done. However, if you consciously try to avoid making such associations, you will find that you will be A. concentrating more on the Italian way of saying things, B. understanding Italian better, and C. speeding up the learning process, since you will be going directly from the Italian utterance to its meaning, without having to translate first into English in order to arrive at the meaning. This is the end of the recorded portion for Unit 4.